Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we come into this place, each one of us bringing everything that we are to you, exactly how you have created us to be. We come into this place to be startled, to have the Spirit move in, among, and through us, that we may be filled with grace, that we may be filled with your word, so that when we leave this place, we are able to be a light unto the nations, to be a people who point to that light. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have to admit that I loved the door on my parents' house when I was growing up. It was a big door. It was made of a deep, dark brown wood, and it always had something hanging on it to go with whatever season it was, some sort of decoration, almost as if it was an invitation into the house. But what I liked even more than the door itself was that little space on the other side of the door. It was about 3 feet by 5 feet, a room that was right on the other side. It was an entryway, if you will, like a threshold space. And once you passed through it, you felt like you were completely at home. I've thought a lot about that space, those few feet in between the front door and full entry into my parents' house. It's a space between, a space that transitioned you from one kind of place to another, from being outside to inside. In many ways, it's like the narthex that a lot of churches have. That space between the world as it is and where we come to worship. For us, our narthex is not only a place where we have coffee and snacks. It's a place where we gather after we have worshiped before we head back out into the world. It's a place in between. The space in which we are transitioned from one kind of place to another. In some ways, we all live our lives in these in-between places. For some, it's in between one job and the next, or in between school and career, in between vision and fulfillment. Maybe it's in between paychecks, in between relationships, in between success and failure, and even in between diagnosis and cure. It feels like it's where we spend most of our time, in this space in between, this threshold. And as people who have committed ourselves to following Jesus Christ, we believe that everyone, no matter who you are, black or white, rich or poor, gay or straight, Muslim or Hindu, everyone is living in a threshold space. Everyone is living in between. We believe that we all live in that place between the way things are and the way things will be, between the now and the not yet, between the resurrection of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago and the kingdom of God that is coming, between a world that seems overcome by cynicism, tears, fear, and violence, and a kingdom in which there will be no more crying, where the lion will indeed lie down with the lamb. I like the way Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest, described this place in between. He said that when you live in the kingdom, you live in a threshold space between this world and the next. You learn how to live between heaven and earth, one foot in both worlds, holding them precious together. No matter who you are, you spend every moment of every day living in this threshold space between this world and the coming kingdom of God. But the question I think we must wrestle with is, what does this really even mean? What does this look like for us? What does it mean for us here at Resurrection Covenant Church to live in between? How do we do this faithfully? Thankfully, these are some of the same questions that early church wrestled with. How do we live in this threshold space? After the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, they knew things were different. They believed this was indeed a time of transition. It was Jesus who declared that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But how do we live holy lives in this time in between? And one of the places they looked to for answers, one of those things that, in my mind, they probably held on to when things got difficult, was the beautiful Sermon on the Mount. And so, like these early disciples, over the next 4 weeks, we will find ourselves diving into the Sermon on the Mount. We will look a little bit more deeply at what it has to say about how we are to live our lives in between, how we are to live our lives in this threshold space that we find ourselves in. What does it mean to live in between? Now, the Sermon on the Mount begins with easily one of the better known parts of Scripture. It's what we read this morning, the Beatitudes. They are so loved that you can really find them all over the place, on posters, greeting cards, perhaps even stitched onto a pillow here or there, almost everything. But what's interesting about the Sermon on the Mount, and more specifically the Beatitudes, is that Jesus said them right after he had gathered the disciples, right after he had called them out of their routines, out of their jobs as fishermen, tax collectors, and tent makers, after he had called them out of their way of life and invited them to become his followers, invited them into a new way, a transformed life. You have to imagine that the disciples probably had a few questions at this point. A few questions about what this was all about. That as they left everything and began a relationship with this wandering man, maybe they were wondering a little bit about what this all meant for them. How were they supposed to do this? As Matthew tells the story, Jesus retreats up a mountainside to escape the crowds, something he did a lot of. And his disciples, being good at these newfound jobs that they have, followed him up the mountain. And when Jesus sat down, they all sat down beside him, and he began to teach them. And what he taught him started with what we read this morning. It's almost as if Jesus is telling those disciples, now that you have followed me, now that you have decided to become my followers, now that you have walked away from everything you've known, let me tell you what this new way of life looks like for you. And he starts it all off with this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, and those who hunger and thirst, and the merciful, and the pure in heart, and the peacemakers, and the persecuted. It's not exactly the lens through which we are taught to view the world. In fact, it's in many ways, more often not than not, the exact opposite, is it not? Jesus was teaching his new followers that in the kingdom of God, the way things are ordered, the way people are valued and affirmed is drastically different than it is in the shadows of empire. In this way, the Beatitudes describe what life lived under the grace of God is like. They describe how upside down the life lived under God's grace is. It's where those who mourn are content, though where those who hunger and thirst are content, where the merciful are called blessed. And yet these Beatitudes, these 8 statements, do more than just describe what life lived under grace is like. They also prescribe a way of living that is righteous and holy. As if to say, if you want to know how to live in this threshold space that you find yourself in, if you want to know how to be righteous and holy, remember this. Blessed are the peacemakers and the persecuted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. what the Beatitudes do for us is they begin to point to how, as a follower of Jesus Christ, how a life lived in between should look. It's not so much over here. Being blessed, being content, being made whole is not so much about how much money you can earn. It's not so much about how much many things you can accumulate, how you look, or how successful you can become. It's not even really about maintaining the status quo, or simply just trying to live life in this context. No, a life lived in between is over here, with the peacemakers, with those who mourn, with the meek and the persecuted. That's where you will be called blessed. That's where you will find wholeness, purpose, and meaning. This past week, we have been intentional about keeping the country of Egypt in our prayers as people gather in the streets to demand a way of life that is chosen by themselves, by the people. As the protests have continued, the military and the supporters of President Mubarak have tried to stop them using various tactics. And for a couple of days, those who support the way things are, those who support the status quo, President Mubarak, were riding through the protesters on camels and horses, wielding whips and guns as violence broke out all over Cairo. Many of the protesters are Muslim, and they become most vulnerable when they stop to pray, as they are called to do. Earlier this week, I came across one of the most powerful images I've seen in a while. It was a large group of Muslim men at midday who were kneeling down, prostrated to pray in the town square where most of the protesting is happening. But surrounding this large group of Muslims as they kneeled to pray, these individuals who were at their most vulnerable, was a circle of Christians, literally locked arm in arm to protect them as they prayed, to keep them from harm. Indeed, blessed are the peacemakers. Friends, these are people, those brothers and sisters who formed that circle. These are people who have sat at the feet of Jesus and soaked in the Beatitudes. But this story also reminds us that there is great risk involved in taking the Beatitudes seriously. Sometimes we in the church forget this, particularly in the Western church. We get so comfortable with the way things are. We like when things are going well, when life seems to be going fine, or when the church is perhaps growing, or when things seem to be stabilizing, there's good ministry, our individual lives are going okay. And when something threatens to destabilize us as individuals or a church, it strikes fear in us and we circle the wagons. We protect the way things are. We protect the way our lives are. It's understandable. I do the same thing. Let's be honest, the world is less black and white and more gray. Sometimes it's difficult to discern. And the human condition is such that we like stability. We experience it as comfortable and good. It's why we don't often engage in risky ministries or behavior. We stay away from those difficult conversations and those difficult stories. But the Beatitudes call us to live life in between in a different way. To live life in this threshold space that we are in a different way. Because you see, the Beatitudes lead us toward the kingdom of heaven and down a path of great resistance. And they invite us to risk being wounded in order to break the cycle that wounds us. But down that path of great resistance is also amazing grace. Because God's grace, as expressed in the Beatitudes, is poured out as a blessing on the community which empties itself, God's grace is poured out as wholeness on the community, which sees beyond the value system of this current age and then lives within God's vision for humanity, fully expecting that vision to come true. As people who sit at the feet of Jesus and soak in the Beatitudes, let us live in this threshold space, this time in between, as blessed people, not because of anything we have done, but because of God's grace. And it's because of that grace that we make our way on that path of great resistance that the Beatitudes call us down. It's because of grace that we risk being wounded in order to break the cycle that wounds. For indeed, this is the way of life for people who live within God's vision for humanity. And this is the way of life for people who expect and long for that vision to be fulfilled. How are you living in this threshold space? How are you living in this time in between? It is my prayer that each one of us is open to hearing God's voice, is open to experiencing the movement of God in our lives, so that this little church on the corner of Byron and Marshfield may be a community that is called blessed for God's glory and neighbor's good. Amen.